Greetings in Jesus' precious name this morning. It's a pleasure to be here to share in this service again this morning. Thankful God for what He has done. It was Job that said, "The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And you think about that in response to our Sunday school lesson, what Job lost, what he lost, was simply the physical. And in the end, he was blessed abundantly because of his holding fast to God. And that, Job, has been a challenge to me again and again in that, in his life. I'd like to look a little bit at Thanksgiving this morning, and I'd like to look at an Old Testament account of David and his leading the children of Israel in worship, in praise, in thanksgiving. And I like to think about God's call to thankfulness. The title of this morning's message is "The Christian Grace of Thankfulness." The Christian Grace of Thankfulness. You realize this morning that in order to be a child of God, thankfulness is required. Thankfulness needs to be. I've been convicted in my own life lately. It's so easy to allow the circumstances of life. It's so easy to allow whether it's the person who cuts you off on the road, whether it's that telemarketer that calls you again and again and again. Just lately here, my phone number somehow got, an email address got blown across, I think, to every telemarketer on the face of the earth. And you become, sometimes you answer and all you want to do is give them a piece of your mind. You want to tell them what you think of them. And only to stop and to think about, these are real people that you're talking to. We're here in this life to serve people, not to serve ourselves. And it's so easy to get that twisted around and serve ourselves instead of serving other people. You can turn with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 16. Brother Jay referred to these verses in Colossians. We've got to read a couple of verses in Colossians before we go to Chronicles. It says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth." This morning, that is the answer to life's struggles. That is the answer to the struggle to be unthankful in life. In Psalms also 116 verse 12, it says, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me?" These are men. David was a man who went through tremendous struggle in his life, tremendous, misfortune in his life. Now back to our text of 1 Chronicles chapter 16. I think we're going to read verses 2 to 37. Just prior to this, they were bringing the ark back to Israel, and in chapter 13 was where Uzzah touched the ark and God struck him dead because it was not in obedience to how things were supposed to be. But he says, "So they brought the ark of God and set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it. And they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before God. And when David had made an end of offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. And he dealt to every one of Israel, both man and woman, to every one a loaf of bread and a good piece of flesh and a flagon of wine. And he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord and to record and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. Asaph the chief, and next to him Zariah, Jeriel, and Shermoth, and Jehiel, and Mathahiah, and Eliab, and Benaiah, and Obadam, and Jehiel, with psalmetries, with harps. But Asaph made a sound with cymbals. Benaniah also, and Jehaziel, the priest, with trumpets, continually before the ark of the covenant of God. Then on the day David delivered the first his psalm of thanks, to thank the Lord, into the hands of Asaph and his brethren. Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people, sing unto him, sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works, glory in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face continually. Remember his marvelous works that he had done, his wonders and the judgment of his mouth. O ye seed of Israel, his servants, ye children of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Be ye mindful always of his covenants, the covenant, the word which he commanded, the word which he commanded to a thousand generations, even of the covenant which he made with Abraham, and of his oath unto Isaac, and hath confirmed the same to Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying unto thee, will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance, when ye were but few, even a few, and strangers in it. And when they went from the nation to nation, and from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sake, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth, show forth from the day toward his salvation. Declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared among all gods. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Glory and honor are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth, and the world also shall be stable, that it be not moved. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice, and let men say among the nations, the Lord reigneth. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof. Let the fields rejoice, and all that is therein. Then shall the trees of the woods sing out at the presence of the Lord, because he cometh to judge the earth. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And say ye, save us, O God, of our salvation, and gather us together, and deliver us from the heaven, heathen, that we may give thanks to thy holy name, glory in thy praise. Blessed be the God of Israel forever and ever. And all the people said, Amen. Praise the Lord. Think about how many times in that psalm, in that chapter, that it talks about praising God. If David understood one thing, he understood that God is above all, and he is to be thanked, and he is to be praised, and he is to be glorified, and he is to be the first in everything. In our Christian lives, as we face day to day, thanks is a requirement, not an option. Thanks is a demand. It's a command. It's not something that is given up for an option if we plan to be a Christian. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." He counseled the Thessalonians. He said, "Give thanks in all things. Give thanks in all things." Also, I'm just going to turn to Ephesians 5:18. It says, that wasn't the verse I wanted now, but, oh yeah, verse 20. It says, "Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Giving thanks for all things. Thankfulness needs to be a continuous thing. There are many different ways that David talks about here in this passage about how to praise, how to worship, how to thank God. one of the things that he points out here that need to be part of our Christian experience for us to have a thankful heart. And the first one I see is he says, "Call upon his name," verse 8. He starts out, he appointed certain of the Levites to minister. He set in order the things that need to be in order, the commandments of God that need to be in order for thanks to God to happen, for obedience to God to happen. There were things that he needed to do. And one of those was, he said he appointed certain of the Levites to go before the ark and to record. And he says his reason for that, he says to thank and to praise the Lord God of Israel. He recognized God. But verse 8, he says, "Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name." Call upon his name. We need to be continually calling upon the name of God in thanksgiving. If we do not call upon God, how can we be thankful for what he has done for us? For what he is doing for us? How can we see clearly to see his plan if we don't call upon him? Finally, God orchestrates our life. He allows circumstances. He allows things to fall into place in our lives or to fall out of place. But it is the hand of God. In the life of Job, God allowed Satan to reach down and to touch all that he had, even to his own health. God allowed that. But in the end, Job's comment was that God takes away and God giveth. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That was Job's comment. That was the motto that Job carried. It was truly the motto that Job carried. I think also we see another one in verse 7 of that chapter. It says, "Psalms to thank the Lord." They were singing. They were happy. They were joyful. You know, this ark that they were transporting, was a precious commodity to the children of Israel. It was something that meant that God was with them. They made the mistake of taking it into battle before this, with the Philistines. And the Philistine, we know the story, the Philistines took it. And it created trouble for them, and they finally sent it part ways back, and it ended up being out of Israel for quite a while there. So this ark that they had here, that they were transporting, was something to rejoice about. This was something to be happy about. They were bringing this ark back to where it belonged, to the people of God, to the children of Israel. And in that ark was the Ten Commandments and the Aaron's rod, and there was other precious things. But that was a symbol to them of protection. Also, I think another one we see in this chapter, as it talks about in the end of verse 8 there, it says, make known his deeds among the people. Make known his deeds among the people. They were to be talking about what God has done for them. They were to be talking about what God is doing for them. They were to be speaking about this among themselves. And on our lives, many times in our lives, we are far too silent when it comes to talking about what God has done for us, what God is doing for us. Maybe we live a lackluster Christian life where we just don't feel like, are we on fire for God? Do we really... Is God working in your life? Do you act like it? Is the life you live, does it show it? Can other people see it? You know, I believe that if we would have been able to get a bird's eye view of this procession heading out across, I believe it would have been truly amazing. I would have loved to see it. The praise and the thanks and I believe the hills and the mountains just rang with the sound of that crowd walking. They were bringing back what was precious to them. Talks more about singing there in verse 9. He says, sing unto him, sing praises, sing psalms unto him. And he also talks there again about, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Talk about it. Share it. Discuss it. Also in verse 10, it says, glory ye in his holy name. Glory ye in his holy name. They were to recognize God in his holiness. They were to think about God. They were to glorify God. You know, how many times throughout my day do I think about the glory of God? Do I think about how my life is glorifying God? Remember, a Christian life of thanksgiving is a life, it's just a life that's flowing out. It's not something you get. It's not something that someone gives you. It's something that flows out of you. It's daily. It's something you do daily. It's something you do regularly. Do you ever take the time to sit down and to write out your blessings, the things you are thankful for? Take the time sometime. It will do you It will do something to you. It will do something for you. Make yourself sit down and write out 100 things that you are thankful for. 100 things that you are blessed with. Thanksgiving can answer so many questions in one's life. When we stop and are thankful, our focus not only gets away from ourselves, but it gets it off our problems. And thankfulness, there's only one, a thankful heart. When we take the time to stop and to think about our thanksgivings and our blessings, it takes our mind off ourselves, our problems, and this earth. And it puts them on God. Because God is the author of a thanksgiving heart. He's the one that is in control of a heart of thanksgiving. Also verse 15, it says, "Be ye mindful always of his covenant." In other words, be mindful of the covenant he has made with Israel. They were supposed to be mindful of that, of the promise. They were supposed to remember that. The word which he commanded to 1,000 generations. They were to remember the promises of God. The promise God made to them. What about you? Do you think about the promise that God has made to you? Do you think about the promise of eternity? Do you think about the promise of the Word of God that He will give you strength in the midst of temptation? The promise of so many promises. The Bible is full of promises that you can claim, that you can read, that will help you in your struggle. Whatever that may be. Also, jumping down a few verses to verse 28, he says, "Give unto the Lord." Give unto the Lord. And he ends that verse with saying, "Give unto the Lord glory and strength." Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Give back to the Lord. In our lives, we get so selfish. And we forget to give. Whether it's our time, whether it's our money, whether it's our possessions, whatever that is. And I was thinking about, when I was preparing for this message, I was thinking about the many people that die of hunger, the many people that die because of lack. Maybe it's cold or whatever. We talked about that in the devotions this morning. And here we sit in America, and I don't know how to feel about all that. I don't know where to go with all that. There's people that are dying presently, every second. Yeah. And most of those people are children. I read a statistic, I think somewhere, I forget where it was now, said over 13 million children die of starvation every year. 13 million people die of starvation every year. And yet we live in a world with all the communication, all the stuff, all the things, anything you need. You know, I'm convinced this morning, it doesn't matter where you are, you can be spiritually starved. Starving spiritually. We talk about the people with lack of food that are dying today. But there are many, many people They might struggle with that over there. We might not struggle with lack of food here, but we struggle with lack of spirituality. There's a spiritual starvation that is ravaging our churches, our pews, our America, the America, today. And it's sad. It really is. What is my heart? Am I giving to God? Am I giving what I can? Am I giving to what hurts? Am I willing to give? Maybe my lines are drawn so high that I have so little for God. Think about that. He says, verse 29, about the middle of the verse, he says, bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. It says, bring something. Bring an offering before God. Then jumping down, well, actually, he talks about in verse 31. He says, let the heavens be glad and let the earth rejoice. Let men say among nations, the Lord reigneth. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Let the fields rejoice and all that is therein. Then all the trees of the world would sing out of the presence of the Lord, because he cometh to judge the earth. You know, the earth sings and praises the glory of God. The whole earth just shows forth the glory of a great God. It really does. You think about that. It says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. The mercy of God endureth. There's nothing that's going to take away. The mercy of God is one that endureth forever and ever. He says, verse 36, he says, blessed be the Lord God of Israel forever and ever. And all the people said, amen. Praise the Lord. All the people said, amen. They were with one accord. They were praising God. They were singing. They were talking of God. They were talking of what he has done for them. They weren't willing to be quiet about anything. We sang that song of Fanny Crosby. And as I was studying, I came across this quote from her. She said this. She said, oh, what a happy soul am I. Although I cannot see, I am resolved that in this world, contented I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't. To weep and sigh because I'm blind, I cannot, I won't. You know, she took her disability, what could have been a disaster to her life, and she used it for the glory of God. She used it. She would not allow herself. She said, to weep and sigh because I'm blind. She said, I will not, I cannot, and I won't. It was her resolve that what I face in life is all to the glory of God. Can I claim that? Can you claim that this morning? That what I face, the life that I have, is for the glory of God. Not for myself, but for the glory of God.